Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
This is episode number 143 with Adam. Welcome. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I'm a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show with Adam, welcome, we explore a number of interesting topics like what to do with the haters, the power of being an unprincipled, you need a life, do you have one? Why he chose suffer, that's right, suffer, as his one word for 2017, and how he would take his dream school and compact it into 3 days. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy this show. But before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. I'd like to share an incredible free resource for the better leaders that listen to this podcast. It's the top 10 fundraising ideas for 2018, and that's available at schoolzonepodcast.com. And just like the title says, you'll get the top 10 school fundraising ideas for 2018 when you download it at schoolzonepodcast.com. Well, hey there, better leaders. That's right. I am here with the Adam Welcome, and I am so excited to connect with him today on the show. He's currently a director of innovation and technology, a former elementary principal for 6 years. Adam also taught elementary school for 7 years and set up one of the first GAF domains in his county. Adam was principal of the year for his ASCA region, a 20 to watch for the National School Board Association, guest blogger for EdWeek, NAESP magazine, ACSA, and also writes his own blog. Adam also consults and works with many education technology companies as a way to improve their product for others. Adam's passionate about technology integration with all educators and huge advocate of social media and connecting with other educators from across the country. Adam makes it clear that kids come first and has preached the message of Team Kid for many years. Adam believes leaders should stand on tables, ride tricycles, and do whatever it takes to connect with kids. He is also the co-founder of Kids Deserve It with Todd Nesloney, and their book is currently on Amazon for order. Adam has an amazing wife, Stacy, and 2 young children, Greta and Tilden, that keep life at home exciting and active. Adam, welcome to the show.
Danny, thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here, man, for sure.
You know, in your bio, I love this line that you believe leaders should stand on tables, ride tricycles, do whatever it takes to connect with kids. And I'm going to get there in just a second. I'm going to sort of set up the question with some context in my own personal life. So I finally got my first hater on Twitter. I'm not going to shout out the handle. And I'm sure you experienced that because your file is much, much bigger than mine. And this hater, I can't tell if it's an old parent or an old teacher or maybe both because I had teachers that were parents. And it's this shot. And Adam, it's my favorite shot of me on a skateboard, tie flowing through the wind, you know, dressed as a principal, but still cool enough to be riding the skateboard. And they're like, this is the epitome of what you did. Absolutely nothing. It was all about you. And that stung so bad, Adam. I was so mad. I fired off a response. And then I went from blocking to unblocking, blocking to unblocking. And it was just like this crazy, you know, cycle I was in. And then I just left the person blocked and I've moved on and stopped thinking about them. But the funniest part about it and the reason it connects to standing on tables, riding tricycles, doing whatever it takes, the only reason that shot exists is because a kid asked me to do it. They were learning how to take sports photography action shots in their photography class. And I've been on skateboards. I like riding them. And other students were doing it. They saw me interested and they said, hop on, Principal Bauer. So I did. And we got these cool, you know, photographs. So it's interesting that it inspired my first hater, first troll. And I'm curious, how do you, number one, I think, deal with the haters? Because for principals that are trying to either build a personal brand, or they're trying to tell their school's story and they're not hiding and they're living their life in public, people are going to comment on the choices you make. So I'm curious when you have quite a following like yourself, how do you deal with that? And then I guess the follow-up question is, can we dig a bit into why we should stand on tables and ride tricycles and do whatever it takes?
Sure. So I can't tell you, Danny, how many DM messages I have from people around the country with that kind of same sentiment. I'm trying to push the envelope. I'm trying to be different. I'm trying to get pumped up for kids. And I got teachers that are kind of hating on me. I got parents. Maybe my superintendent says I shouldn't be doing this. And I always just tell people there are haters out there and there are naysayers. And don't listen to them, because if what you are doing you feel is best for kids and your school community, then you got to keep doing it. And the audience is the kids. They will tell you, they are your barometer, right? Awesome, not awesome.
Yeah.
Because when you were riding that skateboard, or when I was on a tricycle, or going down the slide, or dressing up, or standing on the tables during lunch talking and singing with the entire school, you stop for a second. And if you had a GoPro hidden somewhere and you took a video, and you saw the excitement and the mojo of the kids. And it's kind of like the Pied Piper. When I used to ride tricycles around, I'd have parents trying to catch up with me to take a picture and a video. And I can't tell you how many like grainy pictures there were of me, because I was riding the tricycle so fast, parents couldn't keep up. And then you get the emails that night or the next morning, or the parent in the morning during drop off. And they're like, Mr. Welcome, my kid said that you were riding a tricycle last night. Like, that can't be. I'm like, yeah, I was. They're like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. I've never seen a principal do that before. So to kind of lead into the second question, when I became a principal, my goal was to be the unprincipal. Mm. I actually went to a leadership conference, a principal like academy, if you will, at a really large university in California the summer before I took over. And I learned some great things. And I also looked around the room, Danny, and I realized that there was a lot of knowledge in this room, but like they were not talking about kids.
What?
As much as I felt that we should be talking about kids. And I'm like,
yeah.
Well, like they're the audience. Like they're the ones that should be like, they're the barometer. So I told myself, my dad taught second grade for 35 years in our public schools. And he was always a little bit eccentric and had fun, but the kids always wanted to be in his class. And I was like, I want all the kids to be running into my school. I want them to be so excited. Like they just can't wait. And that's where it came from. I just said, you know what? Team Kid, as you said in the intro, that was our slogan. That was our motto at my school. And if the kids like it, we're doing it. If it's good for kids, we're doing it. If it's not, we're not. And we saw just kids. I mean, our absences went down. Tardies went down. Discipline was non-existent pretty much at my school when I was a principal, when we were like full on rolling, because the kids just didn't know what was going to happen next, you know? And then in turn, that's just the core of leadership too. If you do something, the teachers are going to follow, right? The principal sets the tone at the school. And if the principal's in their office pushing paper, answering emails, doing whatever, then it's going to be flat. But as a leader, that's why, I mean, I spend about less than an hour in my office a day from bell to bell, in every classroom every day, on the carpet, riding tricycles, whatever it is, knowing everybody's name. And that just flows. It just flows downhill. That's just basic leadership tenets. Any company's the same way. Walmart, when they were getting rolling, Sam Walton would sing with his people, you know, and in turn, look at, they built a huge billion-dollar company. And it all starts with the leader. So that's what I believed.
Yeah, you know, you're so right on with setting the tone. And I love just the phrase, you know, this idea that the kids are the barometer. They're going to tell you if it's awesome or not awesome. Mm-hmm. They don't have a filter. They're going to tell you if they're feeling what you're doing or you're not. And you can see it. It's palpable. And that reminds me, too, of the time we had food trucks. You know, that was a risk. The district said that we could do it. It was an initiative they had going, and it could benefit different clubs and organizations within the school. So we did it. Then the hate started. No, this is too crazy. Mm-hmm. It's not what we normally do. You know, oh, it's going to be too unstructured, blah, blah, blah. And it happens. And yeah, sure, it was messy. But guess what? The kids had a freaking blast. Mm-hmm. And it was so much fun.
Well, to your point about that hater on Twitter, you know, what did you do? Nothing. Just rode a skateboard. I always felt my goal was to do nothing. As a principal, my goal was to play kickball and to send tweets about what was happening in our classrooms. And I say that tongue in cheek,
right?
But what I believe the problem with most leaders is they try to do everything, right? They're like, I'm the principal. I have to turn the lights on in the morning and be the last one to turn them off. And like, no, you need a life.
Yes.
And you need to build leadership in your teachers. You need to build leadership in your students, in the classified staff, in the custodial. Here's the analogy. It's like driving a bus. At first, as the principal, I'm driving the bus. Very quickly, I get to the back of the bus. I'm just kind of making sure everything's rolling smooth. Throughout the day, throughout the year, yes, I need to go to the middle of the bus. I have to go to the front of the bus for a minute to kind of make adjustments, but I want to be in the back of the bus because that's when you know, like, it's a fine-tuned machine. If something came up, I needed something to do. I always didn't do it myself. I always didn't give it to a teacher. I'd call a student, Call up a fourth and fifth grader. 10-year-olds, like, they're awesome. Don't do what kids can do. And then how does that student feel after they've accomplished that task or done an errand for you or set up the new 3D printer so stations? Empowered. They're empowered, right? Yes. And that's a huge problem with leaders. They try to do everything. So like, we should be the one setting the tone, like you said, having fun. Like, wait, you can ride a skateboard around campus? Wait, you can't do that. And I always said, yeah, I can. I'm the principal. I can do whatever I want. And you can do whatever you want too. Mm. And they took that in the right way. They didn't take it like I can chew gum and do whatever.
Right.
They took it like, yeah, if the principal's doing that, I've never seen a principal do that before.
Right.
Dang, I can do anything. Right. And that's just like, that's just code for I can do anything in life.
Exactly.
And they saw that and they believed it. And hopefully it comes true.
Yeah, you're giving them permission to live passionately, to live boldly, not to be able to chew gum and, you know, do crazy things in school, but those things that are a risk, right? And mm-hmm. they don't see other people doing it yet. You just gave them, all those young people, permission to take that risk and swing for the fences.
100%. And it's a problem because in media, in books, heck, Berenstain Bears. I was reading Berenstain Bears last year with my two kids. In there is a picture mm-hmm. of the principal behind his door that has a glass on it, arms crossed, has a mean face.
Trumpy,
I'm like, you know, like, I mean, everything. I mean, look at Ferris Bueller. The principal's like this jokester.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everywhere, right? Like, go see the principal if you're in trouble. And I was like, no, no, you come here to celebrate, you know, like, and you just got to flip that tone. And it's hard because it's out there. And I mean, when we were kids, you went to go see the principal if you were in trouble because the principal was always in the office. And it just, you got to work hard and you got to smile and you guys just got to have fun, overly so. One of the best things that I ever did, our mascot was the Roadrunners. And I said, I'm going to buy one of those costumes like a college team, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Danny, it was the best $700 I ever spent. The first day it came, it was so big and so hot. Tip out there, leaders, don't wear those costumes with a shirt and tie. Shorts and a tank top because they get hot. And I can't tell you, like, the kids were hoarding me, like traffic stopped.
Oh my gosh.
And the bell rang. I go back to my office. There was like 15 emails and numerous tweets from parents. My face still hurts from smiling so much.
Mm.
Right. So like setting the tone, doing what is not expected. And I always give that challenge to people. Do something today with your kids or your school that they don't expect, where they're going to double take, like, wait, what was that? Like, wait, we can do that? Are you sure? Because it just mixes things up, you know? And you just got to be different and do different because school can be you can get in a rut every day. Okay, get your spelling words out, get your math paper, blah, blah, blah. You know, recess, lunch, you go home. And it's been time. It's not time. It's been time to mix it up and do something different.
I'm just enjoying this so much. And this idea that do something today that the kids don't expect. If you get an email that says my face hurts because I've been smiling so much, you are rocking it. And that's exactly, you know, the type of leaders we're trying to build with Better Leaders, Better Schools too. Mm-hmm. So I want the listeners to pause right here, right? Think, what are you going to do today that's going to have your kids do a double take, right? How are you going to wow them? How are you going to give them permission to live passionately and boldly? And then, Adam, I want to spend some time here, this idea of you need a life, right? You need a life. Do you have one? And I know, I'm sure like a couple of principals that were listening just like pulled off to the side of the road when you said you spent only an hour or less in the office, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going, well, how'd you get everything done? You know, and so since that's going to be some type of question that comes up or a critique, how did you manage everything and get everything done with only being in the office for an hour, yet still having a life? You didn't spend an hour in the office during the day and then stay to school till midnight. So
no.
Tell us, how did that work for you?
So some of the worst advice I ever got was turn the lights on in the morning and then turn them off as you leave. And I just never felt that that was true because I have a family, a wife and two kids, as you said. And even if you don't, you need to have a life outside. And I think the easiest way to do this is I just ran my school from my phone. I said, all right, how can I digitize everything so I can still stay in contact with my iPhone? I mean, it's 2017. It's not even a phone. It's a computer. My phone goes with me more than my laptop does when I travel, right? So, and also, like I said before, just empowering people. Purchase orders, like you have an office manager, you have a secretary, you have them do them. Schedules. Here's a little tip. I didn't do the bell schedule because if I did the bell schedule, I would be there every weekend for a month, 8 hours a day. So my brain, that is not a strength of mine. I had a teacher at my school, first grade teacher who loved it.
Who loved it.
And she was amazing at it. And you know what the secret is? They end up living it. I don't live the bell schedule. The teachers do. So I had a little deal with her on the side. I was like, I know you're better at this than me. Can you do it? We won't tell anybody. It will come from me. She's like, oh my gosh, I'd love to. She got, I mean, she whipped it out like in 2 hours. It was prettier, more organized, better than me. And I didn't have to do it. And it would have taken me like literally a month and like every weekend being at school, trying to figure all the minutes out and the bell and all the prep schedules and all that stuff. And how did she feel? She felt amazing. She got to help out the school. She had a better schedule. The whole school had a better schedule. It was more organized. She's like, you know, I've had some ideas for years. I talked to the last principal, you know, they wanted to do it. I was like, right there, listen to people that want to help out. You can't find those diamonds in the rough if it's a staff or a student, unless you empower people and you give capacity. So it's finding those people, finding the people that have talents. And that goes back to like the most important thing about leadership is to me is visibility, visibility. If you're in your office, I can't find out the staff members that have these talents. I can't find the students that have talents. I can't find the parents that have talents if I don't know them. And you can't get to know them unless you're visible. You have to be on the ground floor, set the tone, feel the tone. I would work from 7 to 4, sometimes 7:30 to 4. Sometimes it was 3:45. I'd look at my office manager. I'm like, we're done. Let's go. And we would turn the lights off and we would go. And you know what? I was happier. I was healthier. I had more energy. Did I hop on my computer at night after my kids went to bed for 20 minutes? Sure, I did. But Danny, I'd rather be at home on my couch with my laptop in my lap than at work with a tie on. Because if you're at work, you're going to find things. You're going to do things. You have to maximize what you are good at. If I'm not good at schedules, I got to find somebody that's good at schedules. I'm good at setting the tone, organizing people, making people, you know, saying yes, sending people to conferences, empowering those people. You have other people to do those things. And you just got to be able to let go. Ego is a huge thing, Danny. People have ego. Well, I'm the principal. I'm in charge of the school. I'm in charge of the building. And to me, like, I was the principal at that school. It wasn't my school. It's our school. We all have to work collectively together. I'm a really huge fan of military leadership books. There's a really great book, Leadership Lessons of the Navy SEALs. And yes, there's one person in charge of the group. But if somebody goes down, somebody else can take charge. That person goes down, somebody else can take charge. Yes, I was the supreme leader of the school, but I had like 5 sub leaders that really could have taken over for a day, a week, if need be, because you're training them along, but you got to get your ego in check. You know, it's not about you. It's about the kids. Schools don't exist for us. They exist for the kids. And when you work collectively better and smarter and together as a team, you're going to work less. You're going to have more fun. People used to say, how do you have time? I have to put on my calendar, visit classrooms. And I would say, that's all I do, because you take care of all those little discipline things when you're in class. Hey, are we cool about yesterday? Remember what happened at recess? All right, I'm going to check in with you. If you don't go to recess, if you don't check in, you're going to have a line at your door after recess. 20 kids, you're going to spend 3 hours investigating, getting other kids from classrooms, losing instructional minutes, blah, 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 blah. Go to recess, know all the kids, get engaged. It's simple. People overthink it and their egos get in the way.
Yeah, I hear you. There's this idea just like connecting while it's happening and being proactive, you know, and then using that bus metaphor too. Sure, you might start driving the bus, but then very quickly, you know, you hand the keys to somebody else so you can sit in the back and then integrate into the bus culture. Mm-hmm. Were you always there as a leader in terms of that distributive leadership and having a team run things, or was that something that developed with time?
I think it started when I was a teacher, because I saw I taught third, fourth, and fifth grade. I was like, hey, these kids can do things. Teachers just don't let them. You know, like I said before, my dad was a second grade teacher for 35 years, and he had kids do all sorts of things. I remember when I was younger than the second graders. And then when I finally got older, because I used to go visit my dad in school, I was like, wow, like, why is the teacher doing everything? Again, this is our classroom community. So it really started back when I was a teacher. We got a 3D printer. I didn't set the 3D printer up. I told the kids, hey, go to YouTube, go to the website, figure out how to do it. They're like, figure it out. You're smart. Figure it out. You're smart. Figure it out. Just my own kids yesterday, they were trying to figure something out. And my daughter knows now, don't ask dad, he won't help us. And my son figured it out, right? Like, you're building capacity. We do way too much for people and for kids because we want to help out. Because I'm the teacher, I'm the principal, I know everything. I went to school, I have a credential. And I'm saying that with sarcasm, if you can't feel it in my voice, why do we think that we need to do everything? people are at school. Oh, I'm here till 8 o'clock at night. I'm like, 8 o'clock at night? You are doing too much, or you're doing the wrong things. Return on investment. If you're putting energy and money into things and you're not getting a return on your investment, cut it loose, let it go. You know, it's like organizing, like, you know, putting all this, all the doilies up and the borders and making the classroom look all pretty. I'm like, you could have, I mean, kids go to school in shipping containers, Danny,
right?
And they can learn and have access. You have Wi-Fi and a Chromebook and a good teacher, let's go. You know, like, it's all what you want to put energy into. And I just wanted to put energy into the staff and the community and then go home and have a life, because at the end of the day, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, it sounds like you and I are cut from the same cloth in the sense that we're over giving awards out for being busy,
mm-hmm.
or quote unquote the hardest worker just because you stay late, you know. And mm-hmm. again, now to back to your point, it's really a question of ego. And you talked about building capacity, helping others solve their own interesting problems. When you are always stepping in, or you think because your title, whether that's classroom teacher or building principal, is why you need to do something,
mm-hmm.
it robs everybody else of figuring out how they would have handled it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And again, all about ego, all about yourself. Mastermind members love the book. I don't know if you read it, Adam. Ego's the Enemy by Ryan Holiday. But if the listeners, please check it out, because it's a great book. And the interesting thing is, like, listen, I told you I'm recording this. I'm in Cape Town, South Africa. Last time I was in mm-hmm. South Africa, the Xhosa tribe of people gave me the name Lulamile, which means gentle and humble. And a lot of times I am humble, but this book revealed that I struggle with ego too. We all do. And when you become aware of how it manifests in your life, you could do something about it. So I couldn't recommend that book highly enough.
Well, and there's some hidden poison in the downstream effect if we as adults step in and do everything, or the building principal does everything. Because when you do that, people's creative and innovative ideas and their juices in their brain, they stop, right? And that has negative effect down the road. Well, I wasn't able to do this, so I'm not going to like step forward with this. Or, hey, I have a good idea. I'm not going to do this time because somebody said no before, or they just did it themselves. There's a lot of hidden negativity, I feel, in that if we're always doing that. People can't tap into the reservoirs of creativity and innovation and mojo that they have inside if they're never allowed to show what they have. You go to technology companies. I mean, Google on a weekly basis has like a all hands on deck meeting, and the CEOs are there, and a programmer that's been there for a week can raise their hand and have an idea. And if it's a good idea and it's going to make money or make the company more efficient, they go with the idea. But translate that to a school district, a superintendent or a director or a teacher or somebody or principal getting an idea from a parent or a third grader or a senior in high school, are they even given the opportunity? Have they been given the opportunity to hear that voice? And it's just so vital, and it just needs to happen in our schools, I feel.
This podcast is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators and podcasts by educators. Listen to all the great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com. So I want to tell listeners, go back 40 episodes. You can hear how Todd answered this question. But I'm curious, Adam, your take on, and what's the story of starting Kids Deserve It?
So Twitter was the culprit. If you're not on Twitter and you're actively engaged, you're wrong. It's my conference all the time in my pocket. So Todd and I were connected on Twitter. He had a podcast called Edu All Stars. He reached out, had me on the podcast. And then we met in person at Principal Conference, National Association of Elementary School Principals, now 2 summers ago. And we were talking at dinner one night. We were at dinner with a technology company that we both consulted for. And I said at dinner, I said, schools don't exist so we can have kids. They exist. Schools don't exist so we can have jobs. Sorry, they exist for kids. And Todd, I always say Todd was stalking me at dinner that night because he tweeted what I said.
Right.
And the tweet just absolutely blew up.
Oh, wow.
And we laugh about it now. And we said, you know, it all goes down to relationships. So we met the next morning for breakfast, super early, wrote a blog post about relationships. We hashtagged it, Kids Deserve It, because that's what we had said the night before at dinner. And we kind of looked at each other and we said, we have something here. So we bought the URL, you know, got the Twitter, and just started blogging and just started putting out content. That's a huge thing, is put out content. People just wait and nobody wants to listen. Nobody wants to hear. There are people out there that want to connect with you. You got to put out content. So that's what we did. And we started a podcast. And then we kind of approached Dave Burgess. He kind of approached us. It was like a kind of, you know, like I ask you out, you ask me out to the dance. And
the feelings mutual.
Feelings mutual. And, you know, got a book deal and wrote the book in just a few months. And yes, we have a book, but we have a podcast. We have a Twitter chat. And really, it's a community of just people. And Todd and I talk. We're just blown away by it. And the community is bigger than us. We want it to be bigger than us. It's really a place for educators, for parents, for anybody to just find their people, because teaching is not that collaborative, I feel it. Most of the time, it's you and your four walls and your students. And you have to reach out beyond the staff room, beyond your campus, beyond your district, and come together with people. And that's exactly what is happening and has happened, and we hope will continue to happen with Kids Deserve It. It's just simple. What do kids deserve? Everything. A high five, a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, technology, a hug, you know, teachers that care about them, teachers that want to be there, principals that ride tricycles and go down the slide and ride skateboards, people that are going to fight for them. And it's really a simple message. And we just love being a part of it. Really, you know, yeah, we're the co-founders, but we're just blown away by the people that are just, that reach out and that have just changed their practice, changed their school. Our book is not written with research. It's written from Adam and Todd's research, you know, being teachers and administrators. And, you know, we both travel and speak and are very well connected. And just, it's just all of that together. That's what works. We don't need to do a research study to see what works. We've kind of lived it and are still breathing it every day. So that's really the story. Kids Deserve It. It doesn't take much to get connected, but you got to be connected to find those people and then just really see what happens.
Love it, Adam. Thanks for the origin story of Kids Deserve It. We'll have the book linked up for sure in the show notes for all the listeners. But if they want to tune into the podcast or hop into the Twitter chat, where can they find those?
Sure. Twitter chat is 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on every Wednesday. And our podcast, we do record our podcast through Google Hangout, but iTunes is the best place. So just subscribe to Kids Deserve It on iTunes. We're almost to our 100th episode. I think we're on 95. So we're getting close to the 100 mark, which we're excited about.
What have you learned doing 100 episodes of a podcast?
I just learned that like what you're going through, somebody else is going through also. And that is just why it's so important to be connected. Because we've had students on the podcast. We've had people that have won American Idol on the podcast. We've had principals. We've had superintendents. And people are going through the same struggles. People want the same thing. They want to be awesome for kids. And it doesn't matter if you're in North Carolina, if you're in Manhattan, if you're in Los Angeles, Denver, wherever across the world. You know, kids are kids, educators are educators. It's the same struggles. People don't have enough money. They don't have enough time. They don't have enough resources. But the one constant is people really care about kids, and you got to keep fighting. And Danny, we have to stick together in this fight to do what is right in education for kids, because we can't do it alone. Nobody can do it. There's no I in team, which is so cliche, but it's so true. And educators just want the best. And also, it's sometimes hard to find times to record podcasts. You're trying to get three different schedules together, yeah. You know, and you know how that is. So, but it's been fun. And we are excited to continue the podcast journey.
Love it. Love fellow podcasters. So that's, you know, you can nerd out about that for a few seconds.
Totally.
So you're working on a new book as well. I believe in the pre-chat you said it was Run Like a Pirate, and that connects to something that you're doing to stay balanced yourself. But can you whet the listener's appetite for your new book?
Sure. So I've been a lifelong athlete and just outdoors, staying healthy and eating well and exercising. And last December, I ran my 6th marathon of my life, and I finished and I had a good time. And I just knew that there was more. I didn't need to do more because I'm healthy and I'm in shape, but I was like, I wanted to make myself uncomfortable. And my one word I decided for 2017 was going to be suffer. I wanted to suffer to see what else I had inside me, in my brain and in my body. So I had this idea on a whim, mid-December 2016. I told my wife, I'm going to run one marathon a month in 2017. And my wife, she knew what she was getting into when she married me. She kind of gave me a crazy look and she's like, all right, honey, do it. So I just ran Lake Tahoe Marathon a couple of weeks ago, and I'm running New York Marathon in about a week. So a couple caveats are my December marathon was going to be my 19th marathon of my life, and that didn't sit well. I wanted to hit 20. So I'm going to run my 20th marathon. I'm going to run it double. I'm going to run the marathon backwards in the middle of the night, and then change clothes and get something to eat, and then run the actual marathon. And actually, my good friend Jessica Cabine, who's principal of the year in Minnesota, and Jessica is just my absolute homie, an amazing, amazing, amazing individual. She's going to come out and run with me. And then actually, I was feeling a little bad, a little selfish. I decided that I realized all these marathons are for me this year. So I've decided to run one more race. I'm going to do a 24-hour race on New Year's Eve. So 9 a.m. to 9 a.m. in San Francisco at Crissy Field. My goal is to raise $100,000 for homeless students across our country. I'm going to do a GoFundMe. And I decided to write a book about it with Dave Burgess, Run Like a Pirate. And the title has a run in it, but it's not going to just be about running. It's going to be about whatever you do, do it. You know, push yourself. Mm-hmm. If you walk, if you mountain climb, if you jazzercise, if you play chess, whatever it is, just do it. Don't do it with mediocrity. I feel humans in 2017 in this life, we're always, you know, we can become warm. We have food, you know, not all of us do, but, you know, most people do. But like, be uncomfortable, be hungry, be cold. That's how you learn. That's how you grow as a person. When you're at mile 25 of a race and that last mile feels like 25 more miles, how are you going to dig deep and suffer and find yourself? And I'm not asking anybody or everyone to run a marathon, but whatever you do, just do it and shake it up and try to do it differently. Because I guarantee you, and I found this to be true already, I'm already a stronger educator this year because of all my running, because I'm looking at things differently. I'm going the extra mile, many more miles than just 1 mile. So that's the premise of the book, Run Like a Pirate. But whatever you do, just get up and get out and get yours. And it'll be released hopefully May-ish 2018. So I'm excited about it.
So just another shout out to Jessica. She's a part of the mastermind too. And if there's any listeners that are curious, what the heck is a mastermind? What do we do? Go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/MM. But to your point, Adam, you know, whether it's jazzercise, chess, or running marathons, getting out there and doing the things you love, it goes back to like no more awards, no more brownie points, no more accolades for being the first one at 4 a.m., turning on the lights, and then leaving at midnight and turning them off. Mm-hmm. When you go and do those things, like in this case, in the running, you said it makes you a better leader. You're a bigger gift to the community. You're a better leader, right, for that community you serve because you take time for yourself to explore those passions outside of school hours. So I just really want to reiterate that and hit it home for our listeners. So whatever that is for you, listener, go out there and, you know, do it 1,000% because it makes you better for the community that you serve every single day within the school community.
I would add too, find your tribe, find your people in that other activity as well. Because what I've realized over the years, educators stick together, which is great. And even outside of life, but I have my educator life, I have my personal life, and I have my, like, you know, running is my drug life. I have my other friends there. And it's just so important because you have to step away. Like sometimes I have to step away from running. I need a day off. I have a coach and I'm like, coach, I need a day off. I'm tired. And having those different compartments in your life that are not totally intertwined, I have found really accent each other very nicely. So then when you do leave it for a minute and you go back, you feel more refreshed. I think that's just so, so important. Don't talk about education when you're at home or when you're with your running friends or your chess friends. Change the conversation because you're going to give your brain a rest. The brain is a huge calorie hog. And you know, like when I run a marathon, I try not to, I don't listen to music. I just kind of look straight ahead and you got to rest your brain too. You know, that sleep and resting your teacher brain is so important. So you can go back on Monday or tomorrow or whenever it is recharged and ready to go.
And if people are interested in raising that $100,000 that you're behind with the GoFundMe page, can you share the link so I could put that in the show notes for everybody?
Definitely. If you just Google Adam Welcome, you're going to find it. Like you, I'm all over the web, so it'll be easy to find. But yeah, definitely, definitely.
Awesome.
School leadership is hard work. Why should funding student-centered programs be difficult too? If you're stressed about your budget and where you'll find some extra cash to run a great program for kids, I have a solution for you. Introducing the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas for 2018. In this guide, you will find the best school fundraising ideas available in 2018. My favorite company described in the guide is School Spirit Vending. School Spirit Vending brings hassle-free fundraising to schools through custom sticker vending machines installed in your school. The best part, you do absolutely no work. The School Spirit Vending team installs, maintains, and shares the revenue collected with the school. You can learn more about School Spirit Vending and the other magnificent companies mentioned in the top 10 school fundraising ideas for 2018 at schoolzonepodcast.com. Go there now, download the top 10 school fundraising ideas for 2018 at schoolzonepodcast.com.
We're heading into the final, I guess, part of the podcast. So a couple fun and lighthearted questions and a few deeper questions before we sign off. You talked about running, and you can't say jazzercise, but what else do you do for fun?
So I'm a complete bibliophile. I read probably 2 books a week, which is my wife's always looking at our Amazon bill. So I try to go to the library as much as I can. But we had probably 3,000 books in my house as a kid. My dad was just a voracious reader, and it definitely rubbed off on me. And now I have a 6- and 4-year-old. So that reading part is so important. And just for knowledge, there's just so much knowledge out there. However long I have on this planet, I want to just continue to fill my brain with it. Philanthropy is very, very important to me, but also I'll bring in Todd in that part. With Kids Deserve It, we've donated over $40,000 in the last year and a half to educators around the country through Donors Choose. We sell Kids Deserve It t-shirts. And from the first day we sold them, we both decided unanimously that we weren't going to keep one penny. And we sell shirts once a month for 10 days. And then we donate money. We just donated $10,000 to the hurricane teachers in Texas and Florida. And my wife and I also privately on the side personally are very big, with philanthropy. So just giving back is so important. And giving back to other people, I respond to every tweet, every Voxer message that people reach out. I always have time. I can't tell you how many people have messaged me over the years and said, Adam, can I talk to you? And I'll give them a call and, spend 15 minutes on the phone with a teacher in Florida that needs a pep talk. So I'm just passionate about paying it forward and helping other people, because we have to, like I said before, we have to stick together. We're better together when we're connected. And when we have a relationship, and that's how I met Jessica. Jessica and I were connected on social media, and she's one of my best friends, and we've only hung out once for 2 hours.
At the principal's conference?
No, at an airport hotel in Minneapolis.
Oh, okay.
I had some speaking gigs in Minneapolis. She's like, can I drive 2 hours to have dinner with you? She drove 2 hours, and I had taken a red eye, and we had dinner. And it's just those relationships that keep me going, and just paying it forward is so important. So those are probably the most important things. And of course, my family, that goes without saying, just being an excellent husband and a dad and doing the best I can there. So
so awesome. I love when you call people too. They reach out on social media. You're like, hey, what's your number? Mm-hmm. Whatever. You give them a call and it's like speechless, for like 5-10 seconds. Hey, you alive? Do I need to call 911?
Right.
That's awesome that you give back like that.
The best thing is actually when people are tweeting me or they're saying like, oh man, I'm having a bad day or something. I see that. I'll just go online and find their school and just call their school. And that's even better because they don't know I'm calling, and they're like, is this really him? And I'm like, what's up? I'm just calling to say, hey, again, we have to stick together. We have to.
That's awesome. If you could be automatically good at something, what would it be?
Playing the piano. I played the violin as a kid for 10 years, but I'm always jealous. You'll be like at a department store I'll just see a piano at a hotel. Mm-hmm. I wish I could just sit down and play it. I play the harmonica a little bit, but that's not as cool as just like, you're somewhere and nobody else can play, but you could sit down and play the piano. I wish I could, but I can't. Maybe someday.
It's a thing in Belgium. They have them everywhere. Airports, really? Outside,
oh, awesome.
In the malls. Yeah. And it says just like play.
Can you play?
Nothing good. If it was a guitar, I could rock it out, or a bass.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe I should learn just so I could start serenading my beautiful wife in Belgium.
Right.
What message would you put on all school marquees across the globe if you could do so for just a day?
Be awesome for kids. That's it. It's simple. It's all-encompassing. So many school districts and educational organizations have their motto to raise 21st century learners to be collaborative, blah, 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 blah. Short catchphrases. What does that mean? Come on. Be awesome for kids. With technology, with high fives, with understanding, with a hug, with compassion, with empathy. Everything. Be awesome for kids. That's it.
Love it. You're building a school from the ground up, Adam. You're not limited by budget or resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school and what would be your top three priorities?
So I've actually talked about this a lot, about actually opening my own school someday. And people have asked Todd and I to start a Kids Deserve It school, kind of like the Ron Clark Academy.
Yeah.
We're not. But I would keep it super simple. I actually think the entire footprint of what a school looks like in the United States is outdated and needs to change. I don't feel we need these big, like 5-10 acre campuses. I actually would take office space and I would go to IKEA and just get couches and beanbags, Chromebooks and Wi-Fi. That's it. I don't think you need flat screen TVs. I don't think you need interactive projectors. If every student has a device in my school, they would. You have Google Classroom. The teacher just shared it with you. You have your own flat screen in front of you. Individualized, personalized learning. I would not have a cafeteria. Technology companies get food delivered every day. We can too. You don't need a kitchen. You don't need a cafeteria. A PE with a field. How about CrossFit or Zumba? A lot of kids don't even need PE in some areas because they're playing sports outside. You're here. You're here to learn and you're here to work. Zero missed opportunities. Zero wasted time. So I actually someday may just try that. Office space. Couches from IKEA, Wi-Fi, and Chromebooks. See what happens. I don't even think kids need to go to school 5 days a week, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually thought about that. I think you could do 3 days a week and do distance learning at home. I was a vice principal of a school where we had a really large Indian population, and they would take their kids out for like a month or two. Well, we were using a learning management system, and they were still connected every day because even though they were in India, they could still watch the YouTube videos. They could still do the work. They could still FaceTime with their class or Google Hangout. So the whole model of it, I would completely change. And those are like some of the first tenets that I would do.
Wow. Well, Adam, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice? And what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Sure. So a welcome on Twitter, a welcome on Voxer. Voxer is my phone number. You don't need my phone number to get a hold of me. You can send me a message on Voxer. AdamWelcome.me is my website. And parting words is, every morning you have an opportunity to inspire your students and give them chances. You have, and we talk about this a little bit in Kids Deserve It, you have no idea what kids just dealt with for the last 12 hours when they were picked up from school. Did they have dinner? Did they sleep in their car? Were they with a nanny all night? And maybe the nanny's not very nice and the nanny doesn't speak great English or whatever their language is. You know, give kids a chance. It's hard being a kid. I remember. And, you know, give them a smile, a hello, and a high five. It's the simple things that really go the distance. It's the simple things that kids remember. I remember my dad's passed away, and at his memorial, students, we didn't invite any students. Students showed up. They heard that my dad had passed away. And they said, I remember that he always was encouraging. He always cared about us. He always gave us a high five. He always said he was proud of us. It's the simple thing. Our words stick with people. And, just think about that every day as your students come into your school, your classroom. That's what I would like to leave with.
Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Adam. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com. Type Adam in the search bar and the show notes page will pop up. You get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Adam, thanks again for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thanks, Danny. Thanks for all you do as well, man. I appreciate it.
Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show, and feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across, links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well? If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.